This is Rank and File Radio on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. Rank and File Radio is a weekly program covering labor issues from national and international perspectives. We are your hosts, Doug Nesbitt.
And Andrew Stevens. On this week's show, we interview Benoit Renault, a veteran of the Quebec student movement and member of Quebec Solidaire, about the Quebec student strike. We'll also be joined by Matt Thornton, a Kingston member of the Industrial Workers of the World, or IAW, who participated in the May Day demonstrations in Montreal.
But first, here's this week's labor news update.
On April 30th, the Chrysler assembly plant in Windsor was idled due to a strike in the Tecumseh, Ontario parts plant. The parts plant workers at Dakota Integrated Systems, represented by the Canadian Auto Workers Union, had rejected a tentative agreement with the company. Dakota workers ratified a new deal on May 7th. The Canadian auto workers will be going into bargaining with the big three auto companies, Ford, GM, and Chrysler, later this summer. It will be the first round of bargaining since Chrysler and GM emerged from bankruptcy protection.
The Canadian Union of Postal Workers is asking the Federal Court of Canada to rule on a government-appointed arbitrator in the Canada Post dispute. Guy Dufour, who was appointed by the Tory Minister of Labour, Lisa Raitt, to resolve the Canada Post lockout of June 2011, has been a two-time Federal Conservative Party candidate. Dufour also served as a lawyer representing Canada Post in the Crown Corporation's efforts to defeat a $250 million pay equity case brought forward by CUPW between 1998 and 2003.
Peel Region Ontario worker employees have been on strike since May 3rd. The workers, represented by QP Local 966, are on strike after their employer offered wage increases below that of non-union Peel Region employees. The union has argued that the employer has tried to strong-arm the union into accepting inferior working conditions and pay, with little attempts at bargaining and threats regarding terms of employment. The workers on strike provide services relating to the employment, childcare, healthcare, and other needs of the most vulnerable and poor.
After receiving a $25 billion federal shipbuilding contract, Irving, which owns the Halifax shipyards, is demanding concessions on pensions and seniority rights of the 1,000 unionized shipyard workers. The contract negotiations went to conciliation on May 2nd. 2 days later, Federal Minister of Labour, Lisa Raitt, visited the shipyard. In the wake of the Caterpillar lockout in London, Ontario, and the heavy-handed federal intervention in the Air Canada dispute with pilots, baggage handlers, and mechanics, there is a strong possibility that the federal government will again side with the employer if a labour dispute erupts in the Halifax shipyards.
After a three-month student strike that saw hundreds of thousands of Quebec students taking to the streets, leaders of the three main student unions were invited for talks with a government negotiator on Friday, May 4th. That same night, nine people were injured and over 100 students were arrested after demonstrations erupted in Victoriaville, Quebec. There were hopes that this round of negotiations might begin a round of talks that would conclude North America's biggest student mobilization. After 22 hours of intensive negotiations, press reports suggested that the parties had reached a tentative agreement. These hopes were premature.
As of Wednesday, May 9th, nearly 30 student associations voted to reject the agreement. Opposition has been overwhelming, with the Montreal Gazette reporting over 80,000 students against and only 2,300 in favor. Demonstrations have been held across Quebec since Sunday in opposition to the agreement. According to an article published in the English-language McGill Daily, a document released online by a student claiming close ties with the Class Student Coalition reveals that government representatives created a sentiment of urgency to push through discussions and pressure students into signing a document they did not agree with. The report also shows that government negotiators singled out student negotiators to expedite the discussions and create division amongst the student associations.
Rank and File Radio spoke with Benoit Renault, a veteran of the Quebec student movement, about the ongoing student strike and the agreement being voted upon by students across Quebec. Here is our interview with Benoit.
With us today is Benoit Renault, who is a political activist in Gatineau, a member of the National Coordinating Committee of Quebec Solidaire, in charge of relations with social movements and struggles. Benoit was a student in the Quebec student strikes of 1986 and 1990, and was also involved in the formation of MDE, one of the student unions involved in the 1996 student strike. Hi, Benoit.
Hello, Doug.
Before we talk about the tentative agreement that was struck on Saturday between the three major student unions and the Charest government, I wanted to ask you if you could provide a little bit of historical and political background to how this current strike emerged.
Okay, well, maybe we can go back to the election of the Charest Liberal government in 2003 and go quickly from there. In 2005, that government tried to transfer significant amounts of money from student grants into loans, which would have resulted in a reduction in more than $100 million in the cost of the student assistance program. And there was a massive strike by students in the spring of 2005 against that change, and the strike ultimately won. With the only exception that it took 2 years for the student assistance system to go back to what it was before the strike. So for 1 year, the students had to get the higher level of debts, and for 1 year, it was somewhere in between. But so ultimately, that strike saved the basic principle of the student assistance program in Quebec, which is a combination of grants and loans. There was a danger that it was on its way to becoming an only loans system like in Ontario and Nova Scotia and other places. So then the government in 2007 introduced a very gradual increase in tuition fees of $100 a year for 5 years. So from 2007 to 2012, tuition fees were being increased by $100 a year, and there were attempts in the student movement at mobilizing against that, but those were not extremely successful. But then in the budget of 2011, the government announced they were increasing tuition fees by $1,625 spread out over another period of 5 years. But instead of $100 more each year, it was going to be $325 more each year. And that sparked actually the biggest student strike ever seen in Quebec, even bigger than the one of 2005, which had been the biggest at that point, and also the longest. Some local student unions have been on strike since the middle of February and are still going as we speak. So this has been a really massive, profound movement with a lot of implications socially, politically, even culturally. There's been a lot of poetry and movies and all kinds of things being created all around the strike. A lot of artists have given their support to the movement, a lot of intellectuals of various kinds, the union movement, social groups, and so on. So there's a bit of a social movement being built around that strike. And a high point of that struggle was the demonstration of March 22nd, which had at least 200,000 people marching in downtown Montreal, which was the biggest demo anywhere in Canada since the demonstrations also in Montreal in February and March of 2003 against the war in Iraq.
I was curious how the students actually organize a strike. Here in English Canada, we have a representative student union, but it seems like in Quebec there are general assemblies based on faculties or departments that take strike votes, whether 1 day or 3 days or unlimited strikes. How have Quebec student unions and Quebec student activists managed to create such a culture? Or is that one of those long historical questions?
Well, actually, the issue of where it came from is a bit complex, and there's probably a bit of academic research done around that. But the basic notion, I think, is that in the 60s, the student organizations in Quebec borrowed from the student movement in France the notion that students are basically especially young workers in training, and that they should organize on the model of the union movement. And it's a bit of a paradox because in English Canada, we use the term student union, but in fact, a lot of them function more like student parliaments or student governments. But in Quebec, we say association étudiante, which could mean basically a cultural association organizing parties. But a lot of them have general meetings and a structure that is closer to that of a local union. But it's a bit complex on large university campuses because if you have 20, 30, or 40,000 students on a campus, it's just not practical to have one big general meeting for everyone. So that's why in big universities, that structure is at the faculty or department level. At UQAM, it's more the faculty. So you have several departments in the same student union. At places like Université de Montréal or Université Laval, it's department by department that the strike votes have to be taken, which makes things quite complex and messy. But for CEGEP, you know, the number of students in a CEGEP varies from 1,000 to 10,000. So all the CEGEP student unions have basically the same model of having a general meeting of all students as the highest decision-making body, and then the big decisions, like whether to go on strike, are taken at those meetings.
That was just a portion of our interview with Benoit Renault, a veteran of three Quebec student strikes in the 1980s and 1990s and political activist with Quebec Solidaire. You can listen to the full 50-minute interview online at radioforall.net. Rank and File Radio will return after these messages with correspondent Matt Thornton's coverage of the Montreal May Day.
From July 2nd to August 31st, the Upper Canada Academy of Performing Arts is offering a wide variety of artistic summer camps, including fashion design with Jeffrey Murray, jewelry making, Lego robotics, arts and crafts, puppetry, animation, and much, much more. Call 613-542-9988 or go to www.ucperformingarts.com to sign up now.
CFRC 101.9 in Kingston, Ontario hosts the National Campus and Community Radio Conference from June 12th to 17th. This year's NCRC features the first ever Equity in Radio Conference on Saturday, June 16th, as well as an array of stimulating workshops, provocative speakers, mind-blowing music performances, and the annual dinner gala and awards ceremony. This June 12th to 17th, join radio makers from across these lands to share ideas, confront challenges, and celebrate our collective airwaves. For more information, visit cfrc.ca and click on the NCRC 2012 tab or email cfrc@ams.queensu.ca.
Your thumb on the pulse of global issues. Tune into Democracy Now!'s War and Peace Report, heard right here on CFRC 101.9 FM on weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. and rebroadcast again weekdays at 7 a.m. Democracy Now! Provides their audience with access to people and perspectives rarely heard in the U.S. corporate-sponsored media. Tune in or check them out online at democracynow.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Welcome back to Rank and File Radio on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are joined today by Matt Thornton, a member of the Kingston IWW and a correspondent for Rank and File Radio.
Matt, on May 1st, International Workers' Day, you went up to Montreal and were part of the mass demonstrations and mobilizations in Montreal. Can you tell us what you saw on May Day last week in Montreal?
Well, I attended the anti-capitalist contingent organized by CLAC. And we all met up at Champ de Mars in the old port in the tourist area. And about 5,000 to 6,000 people gathered. And there was about 25 minutes of speeches by various organizations. And before the march even started, police were already arresting people and causing quite a ruckus. And we marched peacefully for about 20, 25 minutes, and then police started up some violence and declared the march illegal, and it was pretty much dispersed. And for the next, for the rest of the night, there was, you know, rallies and small actions all over the city. It was kind of like Fright Night, but for labor and International Workers' Day. It's kind of an annual tradition in Montreal for the anti-capitalists to get out and march on May Day. But this year it was particularly intense because of the background of the student strike and the how the student strike's evolving into a general strike against austerity measures in Quebec. So it was rather intense and impassionate this year. So
you mentioned that the police were the ones that instigated violence on the streets. Much of the media reports suggest that the demonstrations, the student protests themselves, were the actual catalyst for violence, from interpersonal violence to smashing of windows and whatnot. How would you characterize the violence that you witnessed in Montreal? Was it one that was commenced by the students, or, as you said, was it the police presence and the almost paramilitary-like police apparatus that was starting the violent interaction?
Well, by sheer luck, throughout the march, I was at the front of the rally, and like I said, for about 20, 25 minutes, we were rather peaceful. You know, there's no incident with the cops, although we were surrounded by them, and they made it very clear that they were not happy that the rally was organized. I found out that they tried everything they could to prevent CLAC from organizing the rally. And I mentioned before, the cops had already arrested people. So they're there looking for a fight. And when the rally was on, about 25 minutes into it, we were on University Avenue, just turned off of René Lévesque, and we were approaching St. Catherine Street. And about 30 to 35 people at the front of the rally wanted to try to take the march onto St. Catherine against the traffic. And so they ran over across the intersection to the left to position themselves to help direct the march. And when they did that, about a good 20 to 30 riot cops chased after them. And 15 of them they started tackling people and arresting them rather violently. And when they did that, their fellow police officers turned around and positioned themselves in a protective circle around them and started shooting projectiles into the crowd. So at that point, they initiated violence. And I'd like to say, thankfully, there was people there willing to do black bloc tactics, because they instantly reacted by throwing rocks and fireworks and such to the police. And that action actually ended up preventing the arrest of probably a good 1,000 people, including myself. So it was pretty harrowing to see with my own eyes the police starting the violence. And then later in the afternoon, when I'm at home, seeing CBC reporting that it was the students starting the violence. So it was kind of like a 1984 Orwellian moment coming true before my eyes.
Matt, you've prepared a segment that we're going to listen to in a moment that you recorded in Montreal. Can you tell us a bit about, or tell our listeners what they're going to hear?
While the action was happening, I was running around Montreal, essentially, during May Day with a recorder around my wrist. So you'll be hearing live audio from the May Day riot. You'll hear people screaming in pain. You'll hear police yelling at people, police shooting projectiles, fireworks going off, chants. You'll hear the anger that I was talking about earlier in the chants of the people. And hopefully with the audio, you'll be able to get a picture of the kind of chaos and, you know, like police brutality that was there. And there's also commentary by myself, because I was also recording a video. So you'll actually hear me explaining some things, some of the more intense situations.
University in St. Catherine, there's a battle between police and people doing black bloc tactics. The rally's been split in half. I'm standing in the middle of the intersection right now. There's rocks and everything being tossed, beer bottle, fireworks. Somebody just got shot with a rubber bullet. They're using shotgun shells. Oh, and there's more cops coming down.
Thank you.
reinforcements coming up University Avenue trying to squish the protest. We're going to skedaddle. I'm going to try to cover this area as much as possible. The police are chasing the protesters. Or just running. Protesters have split up onto the other street as well. We're still following the cops. There goes another firework. Oh, we got tear gas. We've got tear gas. It's just been declared an illegal march. Yeah. The riot cops are coming in. We're just heading over to, on Demezinev towards the next street over. We're going to try to circle around the cops. They've got pretty much all the anarchists cornered off up near Sherbrooke Street. And they are shooting rubber shotgun shells, it looks like.
Plastic bolts or something?
I think it's the beanbag shells. I saw a couple people getting hit and they were hurt pretty bad. Yeah, we're just circling along. We're right in front of McGill. They're still declaring that it's an illegal march. Of course, we're following it because that's just the way we are. There's cops at every cross street that we hit. The rally's still going on. There's still about 300 people in front of me. The rally actually just split off in a bunch of directions. It's now about five or six independent small rallies. It looked like the people who were doing black bloc tactics have been surrounded and are probably being, what's the word? Tea kettled, there we go. And we've got police vans coming in full of riot cops. Oh, here they go. They're going in. They just ran in and started shooting stuff at the people. It looks like we've joined up with another part of our march. And here come the cops. They're playing music. The persistence of the Montrealers is incredible. The cops broke up the big anti-capitalist march. Now it's broken into about six or seven smaller marches.
That was just a bit of Matt Thornton's coverage of the Montreal May Day rally on May 1st of this year. Rank and File Radio will be posting a longer online edition of Matt's coverage, including interviews with protesters, students, and trade unionists. You can find Rank and File Radio on Facebook, and you can also find our complete archives, including exclusive online material such as the full 50-minute interview with Benoit Renault, at radioforall.net.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Rank and File Radio, a program about work, the labor movement, and sticking it to the man.
Tune in Wednesday evenings, 5:30 to 6 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Change a step aside. It's your foreview that took you by surprise.
The sun's coming up, yeah, new dawn arrives. A generation standing still with anger in their eyes. No love in the city, cause there's no connection. Stricken by disease, a racial infection.
I'm a battery man, coming through to you. In every alleyway, on every avenue. Oi, oi, oi!
Ashes could erase all the fear that we suffer. People say a kid, no one understands each other. He's a different color, but we're the same kid. I treat him like my brother, don't treat me like his.
We're an eye for an eye, yeah, tooth for tooth. Brother against brother, should be singing with the group. The inner city's burning, yeah, it's screaming black and blue. The power and the passion of a million youth.
I'm a battery ram, coming through to you. In every alleyway and every avenue.
Oi, oi, oi!
Nothing you can do. He's a different color, but we're the same kid. I treat him like my brother, don't treat me like his.
Of all the blood that spills, of all the